money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready to talk money.
Well, that's really good. It is Friday morning here in the Ottawa area. If you're listening on CHRI, welcome. If you're driving and listening, keep both hands on the wheel. If you're at home and maybe in the kitchen or near a coffee pot at this stage in the game, grab a coffee, sit down. If you've heard the show before, you know that we love the conversation. So feel free to yell at the radio, or maybe if you're running and you want to engage in the conversation. We may not respond right away, but you can do that yell on any of the social media that we have. Reach out to us, morethanenough.ca, or again, through YouTube, as you watch it on YouTube, if you happen to be there, or any of the podcasting platforms, feel free to click subscribe and notifications. That's always very helpful in terms of just sharing the message of hope and freedom that we have in finances. And I get all of that in because today's show is sponsored by More Than Enough Financial. And that's the company that Reb and I spend our day to day doing. And so we're happy to be the sponsors today.
Yeah, thanks, we're happy. Reb. Yeah. Oh, you're quite welcome. Thank you. So today's show is, you know what? I forgot to get the scripture verse out.
It's the continuing conversation.
I know. I've sidebarred in my head because I'm like, my friend Kate Hubble is joining us today to tell us her story. And I asked her for a scripture verse and she said Philippians 4:13. And of course,
you printed it and I didn't bring it with us in our paper.
What is Philippians 4:13? Do you know off the top of your head? Is that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? No.
It is.
Yeah, that it. Okay. So you have a good memory. Yeah, very
are you
good.
Quote
anyway.
It now? Are you gonna give us the quote?
No, I bet you Kate can quote it better than I can, but why do we have my friend Kate Hubble on the show today? It's because she is one of the guests, the monthly guests that we've been featuring every month to tell a God story, the provision story, a money story of how God's taking care of his people in a time when people are talking a lot about money in a way that maybe be bringing some fear and anxiety. We want to bring some stories that build trust and hope and are real live on the ground stories. So Kate, welcome to our show today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for your willingness to come and share your story. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself before I get you to quote your verse?
Sure. So, unfortunately, my husband isn't able to be with us today because our financial story is really a team story. It was a joint adventure as we've been together our entire adult life. We met when we were just mere babies or thoughts in our parents' heads. Our families had joint cottages next door. And so we've known each other our whole lives. We've been married for 18 years. We've lived together for 23. We had a 1-year long distance relationship from London to Ottawa. That was trying, but we made it through. So unfortunately he can't be here, but anyone that knows us knows that I do most of the talking.
Okay,
I can feel him
story.
Over my shoulder. Yeah, at all time. Our money story is one of like full of provisions. We're people who often take leaps of faith, and we have been rewarded through those leaps, but not without, you know, many struggles and hardships along the way, both financial and just in life. But we've always come out on the other side. Smile.
And my daughter happens to be friends with your kids. So you have two sons and a daughter who are just full of life and vim and vigor, just like their mom. Yes,
that is true.
So we are so glad that you have been willing to share your story, because I've come to know you a little bit, and the struggles are real. And there is loss in your life, but there's also great perseverance. And you've seen God do some really amazing things to meet your needs. So do you have one particular story, or do you have a couple that you're thinking of today to share to encourage people in their walk with God?
Yeah, I mean, when Nick and I were talking about the show and reading through the questions, and we essentially, one thing just kept coming to mind, and it was our housing and how that has kind of worked through our life. It started when we rented in Ottawa. So we did that for a year together. And we both grew up in the country, so we knew that Ottawa was not the place for us to, you know, live out our lives. We were 20 and 21 at the time, and we decided that we were going to buy our first home. We were naive. We were green. We are also, you know, kind of adventurers. We're planners, but we do a lot of things on the whim. So we didn't want to tell our families because that they would kibosh it. If you will. And I mean, my aunt is a real estate agent and has been practicing at that time. I think he'd been practicing for 51 years. So it's like, not as though we didn't have good knowledge base in the family we could have went to, but instead we just jumped in with both feet. This was back in the day, you know, Google was just becoming a thing. You still had to print MLS listings, like hard copies. So right. It was literally bringing home papers upon papers of MLS listings. We didn't even realize that we could have a buying agent. So Nick was that agent for us. He found so many properties. And I mean, we walked some treacherous properties. I mean, holes in floors, walls missing, because we were approved for a fairly hefty mortgage at that time. They were giving money away to people that really couldn't afford it. But we've always been money conscious. So we knew that there was a number that we could afford and nothing past that. I was still in school and Nick had just graduated 6 months prior. So,
oh man, you guys.
Yeah, it was an adventure. So we did that. We saw a number of houses, a lot of less than favorable houses. And then we ended up in South Mountain. And we were early. We ran into a number of people from the community. And we, before we even saw the house, we just knew it was the place that God was calling us to be. We felt so much community in the 15 minutes prior to our house viewing. It just, we just knew it was where we were supposed to be. So we went into this house. The selling agent had asked a colleague to step in due to another engagement. So the man who showed us the house was not the selling agent, but did work for that company. And we just clicked. God had put him in our path for a reason, and we just clicked. It was like coming home, and it felt like he was family. Nick and I both felt that. And he was like a good friend right from the beginning. So he actually offered to be our buying agent. We took him up on that. We had an amazing experience with him. And everything was done in person then. You had to sign everything, you know, hard copy. So we had a lot of experience dealing with him. And as we became closer to finalizing the house sale, he started missing appointments kind of last minute. There was always, you know, provisions made that someone else would be there. There was never a hole, but we were concerned. As he was just, it wasn't in his character. Anyhow, fast forward, the sale went through. We finished. We celebrated with him. It was awesome. We were we'd purchased our first home, which to Nick and I was always going to be our forever home. Everyone that saw it was like, what a great starter home, because it was quaint. But it was just felt like the right place for us to be. So a few days after we had purchased the house, again, being naive and a little green, we weren't really, I guess we didn't really think of the fact that, you know, he made a great deal of money on us buying this home. So we actually created a little gift basket, if you will, to take our agent and thank him for such a great experience. When we went to the real estate office in Kempville, we were also met with a gift basket from him. However, he was not there. Yes. And there was a card in it from his wife that, and I may become emotional because that's just who I am, but there was a card in there from his wife. So it turns out that our agent actually was suffering from a brain tumor. He was on his last few weeks of life. And he met us and told his wife, he had only come to the house as a favor for a colleague. He was no longer working. And when he met us, he went home and told his wife that he felt compelled to see our sale through, that it was going to be something he felt he needed to do in the last few days of his life. And the card say that he felt so much joy meeting with a young couple who were so full of life and so and just on such a trajectory up to live a full and happy life. So essentially the card said that, you know, we had made his last few days so enjoyable and so meaningful. And of course we felt the same. We just felt so, so, so blessed to have him in our life. So this,
Kate. Yeah. Like how do you even, I mean, I don't need, I'm at a bit of loss for words. Who knew that a house purchase could turn into some divine appointment that could minister the love and grace of God? Yes, because you're receiving a place to live, but also because of this gentleman's journey. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, Dave. I'm just thinking that there's
more to fill in the words.
No, but you deal with house purchases all the time, and maybe you see this more often, Dave. But like God cares about Kate and Nick, but he also cared about this gentleman who was going to step in and do this thing that he was calling him to do for you. Mm-hmm. And it's more than just buying a house, really.
This is one of the things I love about hearing these God stories that we're doing all year long is it's never one dimensional. It is about finances, but it isn't about finances. It's about God at work in the our own lives and in the lives of the community around us and getting to just participate. I mean, both Reb and I are sitting here almost in tears as much as Kate is, which we don't like going, oh my goodness, to be able to, in this story for you, Nick and Kate, to be able to just share your lives, literally your lives in this area with not knowing. And again, isn't that such a God thing to be able to do?
Did you walk away? When you left the basket, like how did you walk away from that moment?
We just felt so humbled. Mm-hmm. I mean, He made such an impact on our life in such a short time. And really that's all we were going to say. And we had no idea that we were so impactful for him as well. And it just made the decision to buy that house in the area at that time just so concrete for us. Like we thought, this is exactly where we are meant to be. And since then, that house just keeps on giving. It literally is the house that keeps on giving. We live there for 18 wonderful years. We brought all of our babies home to that house. And then during COVID, we were blessed to buy another property. We loved the house. We had nothing. There was nothing to say about the house. But my husband, Nick, he wanted a house that our kids could park in, is basically what we were looking for, which sounds hilarious. And when he said it to me, I was confused. And I was giving him all the solutions. We live on a street. They can park on the street. The egg hall is just down the road. They can park there if they come home with their many cars. But for him, it just was a symbol of an open invitation for people to come and gather. So for him, he needed a space where people could park. Many vehicles, trailers, tents, whatever they needed. So we ended up moving on. We bought a new house during COVID. Again, the Lord made provisions for us. We were lucky. We did not lose our jobs. We did not feel as many of the hardships that so many people felt during COVID. We bought a new place. And with buying our new place, we were actually able to sell our house to friends of friends. And they are living a full life. And they have now brought two babies home to that house. And we get to witness it. They share photos. And we get to remain a part of that house story. And when they bought, I basically said, you know, anyone that lives here is blessed in so many ways, because it just seems to be one of God's blessings. And
Wow, that's quite. What would you say you learned through the process, like even in buying that house and then, you know, moving to, you know, another space where many of us can park at your new house and go swimming and it's great. And where, as we learned recently, rabbits get out of cages and run through the cornfields. But that's another story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the struggles were real so many times. We were really young. We were naive financially in the beginning. And where the strength came was we always wanted to be good stewards of the earth. That was always very important to Nick and I. So we were very frugal right from the beginning. We still are. We make a joke out of it, and it's kind of a bit of a game, but we go through our house and we try to find at least 10 things we bought that we have purchased brand new.
Right.
We are stewards of the earth in the way that we always buy secondhand. But again, that has served us and hopefully served the earth and the Lord in a way. But it served us because we have been able to be extremely smart with our money, because we have furnished, you know, a couple of houses, all secondhand, and supporting local charities, which is amazing, especially in a time where we didn't have the finances to give financially in the way that we would have loved to. We tried to do that, you know, in that secondhand way, and also giving up our time and our skills. But there was, you know, many times though that we were talking to God, like, was this your plan? Because, you know, we're pinching pennies right down to the last one. And you know, Monday would roll around and everything would work out. And we were provided for in so many ways in terms of, you know, vehicles. We live rurally. We've always bought secondhand, but they've always been there to buy. And, you know, we put it out there, like, we need a car. This is how much money we have. And I laughed because I was watching another provision story on your YouTube channel, and she was talking about the Porsche. And it struck me so funny because we drove a Mercedes Benz for 5 years, and it was the same thing. We got it cheap. It was the perfect commuter car. The parts were horrendously expensive, but luckily it didn't break very often. You know, it was, everyone else was looking at us like, oh, you know, and kind of judging. And And then we ended up reselling the car for more than we purchased it for because it didn't depreciate in the same way that others did. So I when I heard her story, I laughed, and because I just thought, you know, we always were kind of driving like. Yeah.
Well, we do talk about shame on this show an awful lot. So you are absolved of the shame if that, you know, is carrying on. But it is so funny.
Thanks, Dave. I'm sure she needed that. Yeah, I'm sure.
Well, you know, you got to say these things out loud, right? So, but the reality is and you know, thank you, Kate, for letting us kind of come into your life and your story, because so many of us see the outside. We see kind of, again, and it's really tough not to make the judgments. Mm-hmm. It's really tough to go, oh, I wonder how they paid for that, right? And if in a sense, if we're not judging on the one hand, then we're competing on the other hand. Mm-hmm. We're saying, oh, okay, well, they did that. Well, I'm gonna go find a Mercedes, or I'm gonna go, right? And so to be able to have all of that kind of wrapped up in as I listen to the story and saying, you know, these are real things going on. And in the middle of that, you know, Lord, what do you want to do with our time and with the money? And specifically, as we're talking about a place to live, which, again, I know there must be prayers going to heaven like all the time in this season for people, mm-hmm. saying, well, Lord, where am I going to live? That's an affordable place for us to live, because that is such a topic right now in where mm-hmm. we are about affordable housing and how that plays out. Right. So.
It is really interesting to me how God provides in ways that we can't imagine. You know, Ephesians says he does exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or imagine, according to the power that's work within us. I think of 1 Timothy, where he does warn the rich in the world. And sometimes we don't consider ourselves those people because we're like, oh, well, we're not rich. Well, actually, indeed, many of us in Canada are, even as we struggle, that we don't trust in riches, but that he has given us everything to enjoy. So we can enjoy what we've been given. But we have also seen you, like that comment you made about Nick wants a place for people to park so that they can come and feel welcome. That is definitely our experience with you and Nick and your family. Mm-hmm. And it, not everybody in the world has an open, space and an open heart for that. And for anyone who's listening, you don't have to have a big yard. You can figure out parking for those you want to invite over. It's more an attitude of your heart, even with small spaces, because Dave and I have had small spaces and still packed people in. It's a response of our hearts to God that he has provided.
Well, it's funny that you say that. Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, go ahead, Kate.
You know, we have a group of friends. There's about four or five couples that have always gotten together kind of since, you know, early on when we moved to the area. And the funny thing is they all own larger houses than our original house, and they all have large properties. But the funny thing is that it was often our house where we gathered. We would pack 15 plus people into our small dining room and kitchen. I mean, there was not enough room. Kids had to crawl under the table to get to the bathroom. You know, that's where we were. So it was just, it was always on our heart to be those people and have that open door policy. Yeah. And speaking to the riches that you were just talking about, this just happened last week. And it was just so funny. Zoe came home. That's our youngest. And I had put a new mirror in the entryway, of course, purchased at House of Lazarus, our local food bank and charity. And she came in and she said, Oh, we're rich. And it totally threw me because I thought, what is she talking about? And she said, everything's so white. So apparently in her mind, you need a white house to be rich. As you see in the background, we don't have a lot of white. We're really colorful people.
Yes.
Our house is very colorful. So then our middle child came in right at that moment and he said, oh, great. Why did you have to say that? Now we're going to get a lecture on how we've always been rich, rich in friendship, rich in nourishment, rich in family. And I kind of sat back and thought, yeah, I probably do give those speeches a lot. but it's true, right? We are so rich in so many ways in Canada. And even if we don't have a place, you know, that many people can gather, you know, we are so rich in so many other ways.
Yeah. Just in the last few minutes, why is Philippians 4:13 about doing everything through Christ who strengthens you so important for you?
I mean, it's always been one of my favorite verses because, you know, I've had many hardships, more so than Nick, I think, in the early years of my life. And my mom passed when I was very young, but it was my mom and my grandmother that always said, you know, you can do hard things because God always walks beside you and you will never be alone. Mm. So I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's just, you know, it's that reminder that you are never alone. And I try to tell my kids the same thing, that they will always have their biggest cheerleader, their biggest teammate, advocate, you know, but also someone who will always challenge them and ensure that they are walking the right path. And, you know, although the path we walk is not always easy, even if it is the right path, you know, you will never walk alone. And yeah, it just
wow. So good. Yeah, that is so
that's good. A great encouragement. This, especially at the end of this summer, as we head into more unpredictable times. But you know, they're always unpredictable. You know, James says, you know, when you make a plan, make sure you say as the Lord wills, because you really, you know, if you make a plan, say I'm going to do this or that in a year, he says all such boasting is evil. Like, you know, we do. We have a companion who walks with us and beside us. And we're so grateful to the Lord for how he's been faithful to you and your family, Kate. And thank you so much for sharing your story today with us.
Yeah, so privileged to just be part of your story and to just listen in and hear how, you know, you and your family are actually just doing the God thing in such a natural and normal way that we can all identify with. So thanks again, Kate, for being with us. So, and let's pray. Are you going to pray, Reb?
No, you can.
Okay, Lord, we thank you for the Hubble family. And again, just give you glory for how you're at work in their lives. And so we thank you for that. We thank you that, again, we even just being on the podcast and having the technology and all of that, we don't take that all for granted. We see you at work in all of this. And so we thank you for that this morning in Christ's name. Amen. And I guess I can thank you, Reb, for sponsoring the show. So
you're
way
welcome.
To go. If you want to know more about More Than Enough, if you've heard the podcast before, we've talked about what we do. Essentially, our goal in More Than Enough is to help implement those godly financial principles into your everyday life. And so we're big on implementation, as you know, not just on the education part, but really on the implementation part of how we do that. And so feel free to reach out to morethanenough.ca and we'll help you in your financial journey towards hope and the freedom that Christ offers in finances.
And if you have any questions for Kate, even just reach out to our office and we can help connect you so you can find some encouragement that you need from her. She's a great encourager. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm putting her on the spot, but I kind of am. Sorry, Kate.
And join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.